Hello, everyone, and welcome to Our Stories, lively and direct from the production studios at community radio station KHMB, 100.9 FM and 1710 AM. This podcast is a collection of news stories from CoastSideNews.com, publishers of the Half Moon Bay Review and Pacifica Tribune. This podcast is sponsored by the Half Moon Bay Brewing Company and is a collaboration between the nonprofit Coastal Literary Arts Movement, Coastside News, and KHMB Radio. I'm David Gorn. So like it or don't like it, one of the most controversial building proposals in recent Half Moon Bay history has been approved and likely will be appealed through a ballot measure, possibly as soon as the November ballot. Now, the outcry and controversy over the 555 Kelly Project has been unlike any other project in the past decade in this town, and that includes another different farmworker housing project that was built recently with relatively little noise. So what was different about this one? Well, one of the things that ratcheted up the heat around this project was the anger toward Half Moon Bay, voiced by California Governor Gavin Newsom.
The governor is calling out local officials, accusing them of dragging their
feet. Now he's threatening the city with potential legal action for delaying approval.
He's not happy about the progress. Newsom is threatening legal action. Local officials don't speed things up in a major way.
Why is Gavin Newsom so focused on tiny little Half Moon Bay? Are we being bad? Well, we'll get into it in a minute. But first, I want to take you to a place that you might not have ever seen. Way up Pescadero Creek, a place that used to be a spawning area for coho salmon and steelhead trout, and a place that about 40 generations of coho salmon have never seen. Well, until now.
So, from where we're standing right now, you can see that we're kind of standing on this shoal or pile of gravels, and you can see that they're a different size from the gravels over there and from over there. And all of this complexity is happening because of that tree that fell in the creek sometime long ago. And you can see how it is concentrating the flow of water and carving out a pool. And you can see how that spillover is falling back on itself and tumbling the water. And you can see that it's getting oxygen in. It's oxygenating.
That's Kellex Nelson, executive director of the San Mateo County Resource Conservation District. And her organization pulled out the dam here, along with other dams farther up the waterway. Pescadero Creek, about 14 miles south of Half Moon Bay, winds about 26 miles from the Santa Cruz Mountains near Castle Rock, through the foothills and to the sea near the town of Pescadero. Nelson has just taken off her socks and shoes and rolled up her pants legs to wade out into it.
I can directly see the benefits. You can see wildlife where they weren't before. You can see.
That's pretty amazing.
It's pretty amazing. Yes.
Bringing the coho salmon back from extinction and repopulating Pescadero Creek is not the singular goal of the Resource Conservation District. It's an organization created by farmers to find solutions to help landowners by helping the creek. For instance, the town of Pescadero downstream from here has had major flooding problems. By getting the creek back to its original meandering shape, Nelson says, water doesn't rush down a straight chute of riverbed and instead is held back by its shape, which means the town's flooding during rainstorms has eased a bit.
Hey, here's a good solution for the town. It turns out that nature will fix some of your woes. And if we undo our own impact, it can be good for wildlife and good for the community.
Nelson says every time she comes out to this spot, she's energized. Not just by the success that she's had here, but by the place itself.
People connect deeply to nature. You know, there's the benefits to communities of, you know, flood mitigation and storm mitigation. But it's restorative. You know, it's peaceful and exciting at the same time, beautiful and inspirational.
And Nelson says the Resource Conservation District is finding these kind of win-win solutions all over San Mateo County.
We do this work in areas like this that are more rugged nature, but we also do it in urban areas. So we're removing a barrier to fish migration, for example, in San Pedro Creek in the city of Pacifica, right in downtown, and have done a lot of this kind of work within the boundaries of the city of Half Moon Bay as well. In these more urbanized creeks in Pacifica and Half Moon Bay, you're not seeing coho. You're seeing steelhead, though, because steelhead have more flexibility to be able to survive a broader variety of conditions.
It doesn't take that much, she says, for steelhead trout to reappear in Half Moon Bay and Pacifica Creeks. Basically, if you let them in, they'll come upstream.
Small actions can have really significant outcomes for the survival of the species in the entire watershed.
Nelson looks around the creek, pulling at her ankles, and decides, hey, you can see more downstream.
Well, but let me just show what's happening here.
So I tag along.
Okay, so from where we're standing right now, this area over here where the sediment has, where the gravels have deposited this bar is forcing the water, the limited water, to push into the deeper channel so that instead of having all of the water 1 inch deep, it helps to make sure that when there's limited water, it's concentrated so that there's enough of a flow that a fish can swim in it. So in this one tiny area, all because of one piece of wood, you can see how the gravel is sorting and there's all this complexity that's needed.
The success of taking out the dams and restoring the creeks would not have been possible, Nelson says, without this model of cooperation.
We have had a lot of success, and I think that in no small part has to do with the model of how RCDs work. The fact that resource conservation districts accomplish environmental protection by helping people is the model fundamentally makes it so that you're invited for and incentivize people to do the right thing. And you get a lot done on a landscape when you're invited in.
Nelson came to the Resource Conservation District 2 decades ago, following her model of just getting stuff done.
It's very appealing to me. That model is why I came to the RCD. You know, in my former life, I worked for Post Land Trust. And this idea that you could get environmental protection done by helping people was such a revelation to me. I've never left.
Run, run, river, carry me home to the ocean. The river and the road, take me home to the ocean. The friends in my life, like stars in the sky, leave the lights on. I'm trying to get back home, the river keeps on flowing to the ocean.
So that is going to bring us back around to Half Moon Bay politics. Every road here leads back to Half Moon Bay politics. With me is Ashton Hackey. He's a reporter for Coastside News. He's been covering the 555 Kelly story since it first started. Ashton, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, so let me set this up for people first. 555 Kelly, it's a low-income housing project, 40 units designed for senior farm workers. It also has office space in an industrial kitchen for Alas, a local nonprofit. It has generated a lot of controversy and national media coverage for Little Half Moon Bay, and it was recently approved by the Half Moon Bay City Council on a 3-2 vote. Do I have that right so far?
Yeah, that all sounds great.
Okay, so I know there's a lot to that story, and it's all covered in the work you've done for Coastside News,
yeah,
including the petition against it.
Yeah, so there is currently a petition collection going on right now that we might see possibly on this November ballot. That is something we'll have to wait and see to see if they get enough signatures. Half Moon Bay's population is around 12,000, so that's around, you know, 800 plus signatures. And we're just going to have to wait and see if they're able to do it.
So November ballot, November 2026?
If they make it in time, yeah.
So it could be on the ballot this year.
Okay. Yes.
So anyway, however it plays out over the rest of this year, this has been an extremely contentious issue.
Yeah.
To the point where two city council members felt compelled to address it at the last meeting.
Yes.
Hold on for a second. Let me play this.
We are all well aware of the bullying by state officials and the media blitz shaming the city and falsely blaming the city for project delays. Let me sum up. The process has been full of bullying, shaming, subterfuge, false accusations, project applicant delays, and internal failure to manage for a better, more transparent, and accountable process. It looks like a cram down.
That was Half Moon Bay Mayor Debbie Ruddick talking about the process around the 555 Kelly issue. I have personally seen what she's talking about, like people hissing at speakers during public comment, that kind of thing. So maybe you can help me with this. Do you have any idea what's setting that kind of divisive tone?
Yeah, because we're not just talking about a housing project. We're talking about, you know, a direct response to the exposing of living conditions from the 2023 mass shootings in Half Moon Bay. But we're also talking about state-level implications. It's something that Half Moon Bay is just not used to. It's something that we typically don't see. It's not something that are in our typical zoning, and that's because it qualified for density bonus.
The density bonus.
Yeah.
Tell me what that means.
Yeah. So basically that means that stuff like traffic, safety, design guidelines, and height limits, all these things take a backseat to the project itself, which provides low-income housing.
So I get that. So that gets people frustrated. Every other project, they have standards to meet, but this one is exempted from a lot of those standards because of the density bonus. But then the other thing that ratcheted up emotion was the statewide media coverage and the strong opinions of Governor Gavin Newsom.
Yeah, the governor has definitely written to Half Moon Bay a lot.
He's so interested in the 12,000 people of Half Moon Bay. Let me just say, there is no denying that Half Moon Bay is one of 15 cities in the entire state to be out of compliance with the housing element. So there are two things the governor's upset about. He let Half Moon Bay have it over the 555 Kelly project, but the second time, it was over the housing element. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so a housing element is a document that basically describes how Half Moon Bay will accommodate and show capacity through, you know, land changes and policy changes to accommodate a certain amount of share of housing units. So for the 2023, the 2031 cycle, Half Moon Bay was prescribed more than 400 new units of housing. And that 400 is broken down into low income, medium income, high income, and even extremely low. While Half Moon Bay has showed its plan on how it plans to get there by 2031, there are parts of the plan, like a rezoning plan, that it hasn't done yet. It's saying that it will do that, but the governor and the state housing department wants that done now before they can say, Half Moon Bay, you have completed your housing element.
So from Half Moon Bay's point of view, to be in compliance, Half Moon Bay needs to rezone some properties. Is that what I'm understanding?
Well, the housing element describes a rezoning program. And basically the state is saying, oh, this is great that this is your plan to do that, but you actually need to do that first before we accept it. You can't just say you're going to do it.
Oh, okay. And then, so the city manager, I've heard on a number of occasions say, we're one of two jurisdictions that is wholly within the coastal zone, which means we have to get everything approved by the Coastal Commission. And that's what he's referring to, is the rezoning, right?
Yeah. So any single time Half Moon Bay wants to change its land designation for anything, it has to, you know, not only go to the Planning Commission and, you know, make these changes, but it also has to go to a state level commission. So you have one state agency saying, I really need this plan right now. And then you have the city going, well, I actually have to show one of your buddies in the state that I'm going to do this first before I can show you that I've got it done. So, yeah.
You know, I've been on papers where, and been on in public radio, mm-hmm. where the national media mm-hmm. takes a story mm-hmm. that's our story mm-hmm. and runs with it mm-hmm. and has a totally different take on it.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of wondered how you deal with that. Like, you see the story, you know, it's not quite how the media is portraying it. Mm-hmm. Does it push you to follow that narrative?
That's a really good question. Personally, for me, whenever I see those big stories and maybe they chose different ways to do something, as soon as I read that, I want to sit down and write and, you know,
and write the real story.
Not necessarily write the real story, but I want to dive in even more.
Okay. You know? So I guess I was also wondering, it's a lot of pressure. Like, there was a lot of pressure that was brought to bear on city council mm-hmm. and planning commission and all that stuff. But it's also a lot of pressure
on the media to follow that same narrative.
When we were at City Council, it's definitely a different feel when suddenly you have four TV crews right behind you. And I often find that they focus a lot on the emotion during public comment. And I actually try to steer away from that a little bit. I think that is very important. But I want people to, when they're done reading my articles, to understand what happened, who voted for what, and the next steps. And really leaving that meeting with the crucial information that you need. I truly think the job of a local newsroom amidst all of this is really delivering something where our readers truly understand what's happening when they walk away, not just focusing on the emotion of a moment.
Okay. That's really well said.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Ashton.
Yeah.
Thanks for going on that kind of little aside with me. So the details of the actual news, what the city council did, what might happen with a petition or a ballot measure, that's all on CoastSideNews.com. Thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
And that is our stories for the week. I would like to thank Kellick Nelson of the San Mateo County Resource Conservation District and Ashton Hackey of CoastSide News for joining me. Thanks, of course, to KHMP station manager Jim Henderson and engineer Jay Michaels. Thanks to CoastSide News and Coastal Lit for the ongoing support. And big thanks to podcast sponsor Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. And thanks to you for listening. We do it again in 2 weeks on KHMB Radio, Wednesday at 6 p.m., on the CoastSide News website, on Spotify and other apps. Adios.